College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Super Week is all about fattening foods.
Put the good meat out for Dusty.
Big screens.
Come to my garage and we'll film something, bud.
And good sportsmanship.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
How about you shut up?
This is Danny and Dusty on Super Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080. The Fan.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Tuesday afternoon. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along at youtube.com/1080amthefan or twitch.tv/1080amthefan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Flip it back to the NBA for here for a little bit for the Portland Trailblazers. A little bit of housekeeping as mildly breaking news as the draft has been conducted for the Rising Stars Challenge between Chris Mullin, Mitch Richmond, and Tim Hardaway Sr., selecting from the groups of freshmen and sophomores in the NBA. Mitch Richmond's team consists of Tumani Kamara, Bub Carrington, Bilal Coulibaly, Scoot Henderson, Ease Missy, Amen Thompson, and Asar Thompson. They won't score, but my God, they will defend.
Yeah, nobody. They're just going to suffocate you? Is this a full court game?
Indeed it is.
I still don't even really know how this is.
I believe
five on five.
5-on-5. Each team is 8. I think that these are played till Elam 20 or 21, and then the other main floor games are played till Elam ending of 40.
Okay. So by the way, the Elam ending is there's a set score to get to, and then once you get there, game over. Instead of having time, which in incentivize scoring, except for if you're Mitch Richmond's team. I don't know if anybody scores 21. You could be there all night. All right. Well, hey, two Blazers teamed up. I kind of wanted them separated. Is that weird?
No.
But
also, nobody's scoring on this team.
Maybe they can
Nobody's scoring on this team.
Maybe they can recruit some guys to come play for the Blazers in the future. That's what happens at All-Star Weekend.
That's what you start doing.
Super teams are made.
Start doing that. And as it pertains to the NBA trade deadline, there are reports, both public and private, circulating around the Phoenix Suns.
Blazers broke them, dude.
Yeah, that actually seems to be some prevailing thought right now, is that after back-to-back losses to the Portland Trailblazers, there is some soul-searching going on in Phoenix right now, and they are currently listening to offers and overtures for Kevin Durant. They are not ready to move on from Devin Booker. There's reports that the Houston Rockets have basically hung up the phone on the Phoenix Suns unless they are talking about Devin Booker. They will not give up their young players for Kevin Durant. They will for Devin Booker. It is a commonly held belief that that's what the Houston Rockets are waiting for. Is for Devin Booker to ask out. He's the kind of player they want to pair with the Amen Thompson types, because they can give up a Jalen Green. Like, they don't. I would say Amen is the most untouchable player on that roster. They are much more likely to move a Jalen Green or even an Alperen Şengün before moving on from Amen Thompson.
Where's he from, Booker? Is he from
Louisiana?
He's from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which you never get from him. Like, you don't hear him talk like he's from down there.
Well, he's born in Michigan, it says.
Did he grow up in...
He grew up down south. He went to high school in both Michigan and Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Moss Point, Mississippi.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it appears he moved there during high school.
Okay.
I had no... Like, usually you get an idea. I had no idea where he ever...
No, he did, because he doesn't have any, like, regional dialect. Like, if you talk to him, he just sounds... Honestly, he sounds like he's from L.A.,
Sure.
Like, he's just talking to him. He is that kind of pacing and sound to his voice. He doesn't. But I think a lot of that is kind of being an AAU guy and going to Kentucky. You just kind of get in that culture pretty quick.
Yeah. I don't imagine he'll be up for grabs anytime soon, though. That Bradley Beal trade may go down as one of the worst.
Bare minimum, getting rid of the, like, if you're going to make the deal, you make him give up the no trade clause.
But nobody won that trade.
No. Well, the Wizards kind of did, because they don't have to deal with it.
But the Wizards haven't done anything with anything that they got from that trade.
No, but I don't. I think the win was getting off the deal.
Golly. Because again, was it? They have four wins. They could have just rolled them out there and still been this bad.
Mm. But also, they couldn't facilitate any other additional deals. And he's got, doesn't he have two more years?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got two. That's the win. Is they got off of 3 years of $50, $53, and $57 million.
Because
I'm
going to
tell you
contract.
Right now, he is opting into that deal. That player option, oh, yeah, baby.
He's never going to get that money
Good
anywhere
Lord.
Else.
No.
Ever again.
No.
Yeah.
Shouts to you, Phoenix. Enjoy.
So Kevin Durant is the likely guy to be moved out of town then.
And I would never say likely, but there's been noise all morning. Just getting text after text after text of like, dude, it sounds like they're legitimately getting ready to move Kevin Durant.
Golden State?
They're up there. Now, Golden State is flagged that they're going after everybody. And it's feeling very Danny Ainge-esque to me. Of like, look how hard we're trying. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of that of like, oh, if they had just called us one more time, we would have beat their offer. It's like, okay, Danny, calm down. But yeah. It does sound like there's, after the Luka trade, I spoke to a handful of general managers last night, and I asked them all the same version of the question. After the Luka deal, is there a renewed sense of fervor or urgency to place those check-in calls? Because what people don't know is that every front office everywhere takes calls on every single player on the roster. They're just check-ins. Hey, how are you feeling about Giannis right now?
It's the whole John Lynch checking in on Brady, and they said, well, you want Jimmy?
Yeah.
And they got Jimmy Garoppolo.
100%.
Yeah.
And every single one of them said, everyone is making phone calls. There is no stone being on. After Luka got traded for that, everyone is calling everyone and being like, hey, you interested in moving X player? Like, because if you are, let's talk.
And that's where, you know, I think that we should ratchet up the pressure on the Blazers, right, to do something. If there's movement, be a part of the movement, because what are you going to lose? What are you going to lose? Get in on one of these deals and try to make some waves. I look at Golden State, though, and Golden State wanting to make a deal to keep the window open for Steph to keep winning. What do they have to offer that will be incentive for somebody to bite on? Is it
Wiggins, Kuminga, pods, and picks? Those are the only viable assets they
have. And Kuminga is entering restricted free agency.
Don't want to be the guy. You're basically paying for the option to pay him.
Wiggins has two more years with a player option.
Which, and his deal's not bad.
And then you have,
if you believe that he's going to be the player that you think he can be.
Pods is on a rookie deal, and I don't know if you can win a championship if you're Golden State without him, because you're going to have somebody who is good enough and cheap.
Yeah, I don't know if he hits the first bar.
Good enough?
Yeah.
Well, if people are going to be calling on him, because then it just...
You need cheap talent.
I wonder how much Schroeder is available, though.
Oh, he's 100% available.
Well, because that deal right there is a facilitator, expiring contract of $13 million. He's going to be a guy who's moved.
Marcus Spears was just on ESPN, and he said that Dennis Schroeder is available. Coincidentally enough, apparently Dennis Schroeder said that the current NBA trade climate and deadline is modern-day slavery. So, yeah. No, he's very available.
Huh.
Which, I don't know. Being German and making that connotation, maybe just don't. Just don't.
That's
read the room, brother.
That's brutal.
Just read the room. It's not.
You're getting paid $13 million this year.
And nobody likes you.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he not a liked guy?
No.
Not just because of this comment?
No. No. Some have said it's like a cultural norm thing, because like Jeff Teague's been very open about this. He's mentioned it on his podcast. Like Dennis Schroeder was a kid. He was like, yeah, he goes, you know, Dennis would come in and show me the texts from Danny Ferry of like how my numbers were getting better in like per 36 and how I was going to be the starter soon. He's like, don't show that stuff to me. I'm the starter, dog. You're talking about replacing me.
Yeah, what are you doing?
And like, is Dennis an a-hole or is he just an idiot?
Well, I don't know.
A little column A, a little bit of column B?
Yeah, the Germans are very direct.
And that's what I'm saying. Like the cultural part of this, like... That, but also, he has been the guy for the German national team.
Yeah.
Like, that they look to. And who, because he might be blunt and direct. And so, There's some stuff there, but yeah, he's a guy that's definitely ruffled some feathers at basically every stop. Mm. Look, the Nets were in a hurry to get rid of him, not just because they were winning, because they were done with the Dennis Schroeder project.
Gosh.
Look, they moved him for D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah. Yeah, well, D'Angelo Russell.
Not beloved.
Professional bag getter.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell.
Two-time Laker, two-time Net.
Dude. Not bad being like Brooklyn and
bi-coastal?
LA, though.
You keep a crib on each spot?
Yeah, come on.
Not bad.
That's not bad at all. I mean, he's never been like sent to Indiana.
No.
Portland. You know, he's been keeping
He's not getting the Malcolm Brogdon path of being sent from Indiana to Boston to Portland to Charlotte or to Washington.
Washington, yeah. I mean,
I spoke too soon. Charlotte soon.
And then you can flip coasts and like keep up on the fashion trends. Yeah. Like D'Angelo Russell's living that dream right now. Good for him.
And getting a lot of money to do it.
God bless him.
You came across a little bit of breaking news as it pertains to the football world and NIL and what one state is doing to get a leg up on the other 49. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
The Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Quick little NBA news update. Joel Embiid making his return tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers against the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, he still plays?
Yeah.
I thought
he
was
tired. After the Dallas Mavericks and the 76ers made a trade, he's going to play tonight.
Wow.
The rare locker room switch for Quentin Grimes and Cody Martin. So, there you go.
What a weird trade. Martin.
Yeah, it was very weird. I don't know why they give up Quentin Grimes, among a million other things the Mavs are doing right now. But let's flip it to a state a few over from Texas into Georgia. The Peach State dropped a little bit of news that could have a massive impact on college football.
Yeah, this is a weird one. It's an advantage. This is actually a huge advantage. There's a bill introduced in the state of Georgia that would create a tax exemption on income tax for athletes who get money for their name, image, and likeness. Now, this is interesting because it's all framed as like college sports and name, image, and likeness. Mm-hmm. But because it says to amend Chapter 7 of Title 8 of the official blah, 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 relating to income taxes so as to exempt from taxable net income compensation of athletes for the use of the athlete's name, image, or likeness to provide for related matters, to provide for applicability, to repeal conflicting laws or other purposes. So basically what they're saying is, income received for student athletes is not under income tax laws in the state of Georgia.
Hmm.
You're talking a big advantage.
Tax-free millies?
A huge
tax-free
advantage.
Tax-free millies?
For Georgia, Georgia Tech. I mean, that could be a game changer.
It's
there.
The opposite of the jock tax.
Yeah.
It's an enticement to come here.
Uh-huh.
That's massive. And for, look, oh, I'm going to say something remotely political right now. For all the people, like, that's money that could go to services. It wasn't going to services before anyways because it was under the table.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, they're just, the bagmen have infiltrated the legislature now, and they're like, yeah. Hey,
we need to make this big. The taxes are taking too much off this, and we're losing to California and Ohio.
Man, I wonder how many, because this is what happened with NIL. When one state started passing the law, everybody else was like falling in line. Mm-hmm. It's a big factor for these college athletes who are now getting privy
to
it.
Right now, states like Oregon, Washington, and California, I don't know if they have the capacity to go down those.
Washington has no state income tax.
Well, no, but I mean, as far as like the jock tax stuff like that.
No, they have none.
I thought Washington did have one.
Mm-mm. No, it's one of the few that doesn't.
Why do I think Washington,
Texas, Tennessee,
Oregon, California both do.
Yeah, DC maybe the other one that doesn't. But,
okay, so let's talk about just the Big Ten teams that are out here in Oregon and USC and UCLA.
Yeah,
I don't see either of those states going down that path.
No, but I will say Oregon was very quick to jump on NIL when that first got
100%.
I don't know. I have no idea, though. This is a different one. Okay, so no jock tax in Florida, Washington, Washington, D.C., Tennessee, and Texas. Those are the only states that don't have a jock tax. Yeah. Jock taxes, athletes getting taxed on top of their income tax. Yes.
They also don't have Tennessee, Texas, Washington, Wyoming don't have income tax either.
Yeah.
So again, yeah, there's
big advantage.
Yeah.
Big advantage there.
So, you know, it's one of those. So maybe Washington is a state that could go down this path.
Well, they don't need
to. Well, no, I'm saying like as far as like 100%.
Their NIL should be better than it is right now is what.
This one, that's basically it. I should say, not go down this path, but like use this as leverage.
No, haven't really been doing a great job of it.
No, that's my point. Yeah, like that should be something they should be doing better with.
Is this one of the reasons why UNLV is such a possible, like it's kind of a coveted team? Because Nevada doesn't have a state income tax, and I get that they're in Vegas, but...
It's the money in Vegas more than anything, because these casino magnates are looking around, and there's only so many things they can invest in. The NFL team's already controlled. The WNBA team's already controlled. The NHL team's already controlled. The only thing you really have left is Major League Baseball, which I still don't believe the team's going to play there. I don't think the A's are going to end up there. I genuinely don't believe
they tore down the area. When I was there, I was right next to it. And
it was coming down anyways.
I think they're going to build another casino there. I refuse to believe they're going to build a ballpark there. They actually build a ballpark there, I think they're going to build another casino.
This text on the Vancouver Ford text line, are you sure you're reading that Georgia law proposal correctly? It sounded like payments of athletes for NIL can be deductions on income tax for donors. No, it says here, according to Mitt Winter, great name. Mitt Winter, who is a college athletics attorney, said it would exempt NIL compensation received by college athletes from state income tax.
So specifically the receiver, the payee.
That coming from college athletics lawyer himself. So, hot damn. And basically they're saying that the whole reason Georgia's doing this is because what are the names of the states that we just said? Tennessee, Florida, Texas. They are all in SEC country.
Uh-huh.
They are keeping up with everybody else who's been using this as a recruiting advantage, and now Georgia's saying it will no longer be a disadvantage for us.
Dare I say I would go as far as to say that those states and those schools, to an extent, with Florida State notwithstanding, but Florida, Tennessee, Texas, as part of the SEC, have overtaken the traditional powers in the SEC as far as how they manage NIL.
Yeah, because Alabama had a tough time getting it off the ground because they were stuck in their old ways. Ole Miss, I don't know if they've even changed. They may just be doing the Bagman thing.
So. Like nobody cares about us just like, here.
Whatever. LSU has got a war chest that they've been dealing out.
But I mean, Texas is officially back because they got it under control. Tennessee has come back out of nowhere over the last couple of years. And even Florida, despite that S show,
Texas
has really got their stuff together over the last 6 months.
Texas just has more money than God.
Yes.
Tennessee was the first to have multiple collectives with a pointed, directed focus.
And their government was behind
them. And they got it done quickly. They got it up off the ground in an instant.
What was the legislature that gave them the early leg up? There was something they did, I remember talking about like 2 years ago, where they passed something to protect NIL or make it exempt or something along those lines.
Tennessee's turning it around, man. They've come a long way from Jeremy Pruitt with McDonald's bag full of cash. That's what happened.
They're doing good, and like you're seeing a lot of the SEC schools take off in basketball.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like it's not just football.
Stupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean Tennessee's
a great basketball school again on both sides.
It's boring watching it though. They're really good at defense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's Rick Barnes, dude.
Yeah,
get it together, bro.
I've won money on them. It's just boring.
Okay, yeah, that's not boring though. Winning the money.
You're
the good guy to talk to about this.
Mm. Am I?
Yeah. Do you bet on Eastern Michigan, North Carolina State
basketball,
Mississippi Valley State basketball,
North Carolina A&T?
Yeah.
No, North Carolina A&T.
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, when the tournament happens, like, yeah, I'll bet every game in the tournament.
Yeah.
But
all right.
I'm not looking for Missouri Valley Conference late night action.
Yeah. So you weren't listening yesterday.
Yeah, you weren't. You didn't see it. The gambling ring that Jontay Porter was mixed up in. the five guys who were the ringleaders of it had massive bets on North Carolina's A&T, Eastern Michigan, and Mississippi Valley State games.
You can say a lot of things about me and my gambling, and trust me, people have, but you can't ever say, one, massive bets, and you also can't say lots of gambling on Missouri State or Missouri Valley Conference games.
Okay. Will is saying stop shaming his unit.
Yeah.
My unit's just fine.
Yeah.
It gets the job done, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's about it's a bunch of small units.
It is a small unit. That's right.
And then eventually you can get a big one.
But I stick to my unit.
It's a, yeah.
I stick to it.
Yeah.
It's better you sticking to that than sticking it to them.
It's, well, okay.
Are you not talking about my gambling size right now?
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
I'm very confused. I thought we were talking about how much money I bet each time.
Exactly.
Yeah, so did I. That's the one that impressed.
We didn't actually talk about the Blazers last segment when I said we were going to talk about the Blazers. So let's actually talk about the Blazers.
Let's do it.
Come up next year. But first, here's Big Will Betts with the Sports Center update.
It's a Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com
on 1080 The Fan.
It's official. The Portland Trailblazers are the hottest team in the NBA. Like, it's not even like it's not even a joke right now. Like, I've gotten texts from a couple of scouts over the last 4 or 5 days of like, hey, you know, last time I saw you in like November, December, it was pretty miserable. How does it feel to be there watching the hottest team in the league? And it's said with a little bit of tongue in cheek, but they're also like, you guys are playing really well up there. And there's a couple caveats. It's a young athletic team.
Mm-hmm.
It's February basketball and you're getting close to the trade deadline. And yes, you have played some teams that are in a funk.
8 of the last 9, they've won.
Mm-hmm.
7 of those wins have come against teams that are in playoff position. Tonight, the second of a back-to-back after a game you go into overtime against the Phoenix Suns, going up against a Pacers team that is currently sitting 4th in the East and has won 4 games in a row in their own right. Like, this is going to be, all right, we'll kind of see what happens. Remember, the loss was to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yes, by 10. It was a relatively close game until the final minutes.
But it still was decided by double digits, and that's kind of where this team is at. But they are playing good basketball right now, and it really is the guy who has been really the anchor of what they've been doing is a guy who was unplayable. You see Channing Frye?
Channing gave DeAndre Ayton his love. For everybody who asked me, who's Channing talking about? It was DeAndre.
We all knew who he was talking about. The fact that DeAndre Ayton.
The people didn't know that. It was like, come on, guys.
Yeah. But DeAndre Ayton has been playing lights out. And last night, he was absolutely incredible. He was 25 points, 20 rebounds. We went through this early in the show. It's only been done 11 other times in franchise history. And he becomes the 7th person ever to do it.
And Dusty and I, when we got to the break, we both did the same thing. We started looking at career all-time rebounding leaders for the Trailblazers. And we went, wow, this hasn't been done more often. But
yeah, the crazy part about it is the guys who've done the 25 and 20, which is what DA did last night,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, LaMarcus Aldridge did it 5 times. Zach Randolph did it twice.
The Randolph only doing it twice was the one that got me, because that man was a rebounding mm-hmm. monster.
But Jerome, Buck, Sabas, and Nurk are the only other guys to do it. And DeAndre Ayton added his name to that list. That's incredible.
No Bill Walton, no Rasheed Wallace. And again, I know Greg only played 82 games, but I'm still surprised Greg didn't get one, because when he did stuff, he was like 15 and 12.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was a freaking monster on the glass.
And that kind of highlights how special the night was last mm-hmm. night that DeAndre Ayton had. The one thing that I think everybody has been wanting to see, and it's still the biggest question mark, DeAndre Ayton, when he is playing the way that he is right now, you know exactly why he was drafted number one overall. You know why he was the number one recruit in the country coming out of high school. This is who DeAndre Ayton can be. But consistency is the bane of his existence mm-hmm. is that his highs are as high as they possibly can be. His lows, they get down to the cellar. And can you keep the highs at a high level for an extended period of time? He hasn't proven that over his career. That's what you want to see with every other guy on this roster, though, because it's kind of the sticking point with everybody in Portland right now. It's why nobody expected them to, pass that threshold of 25 wins,
yeah. And
which they're almost to.
I'm just now seeing a stat here. I've given two players probably the lion's share of the credit for this run, and it's DA and Tumani. You know which two players have the highest plus-minus over the last nine games?
DA and Tumani?
Yep. DA has a plus 17. Tumani Kamara has a 13.8.
They've been really damn
plus,
good.
Like again, DA has only played in six of the last nine because he missed a couple games with the knee injury. In those six games, the Blazers are 6-0. DA is averaging 22-13.
That seems good.
On 61% shooting from the floor.
That seems really good.
In those nine games, DeAndre Ayton is their leading scorer. But Denny Avdia is averaging 19. Anthony Simons is averaging 19. Shaedon Sharpe is averaging 14. Jeremy Grant is averaging 14. Scoot Henderson is averaging 14. Tumani Kamara is averaging 13. That is seven players giving you double figures.
Yeah.
Okay? The other thing that you need to look at. Denny Avdia is shooting 51% from the floor, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Anthony Simons is shooting 40% from 3, giving you 5 assists, 3 rebounds. Shaedon Sharpe is shooting 42, 37, 81, giving you 4 rebounds and 3 assists. Jeremy Grant is shooting 40% from 3, and his box score stuff is never going to jump out at you, but his defense has been otherworldly. I've talked to opponents over the last couple games, and like, no, JG's locked in. Scoot Henderson, shooting 46, 40, 82, giving you 14, 6, and 3.
Not bad.
You're getting production up and down the roster. And the thing that I will always hammer home, it's nice when you have seven guys that can do this. You still need one guy that can ring the bell every single night. But for right now, the guy that is ringing the bell for them every single night is DeAndre freaking Ayton.
Yeah, and I think that this is the issue, though, and we talked about this earlier, is that this is all fine and dandy, but it will never get you over
no,
a hump.
No.
And that is where I understand the criticisms of mm-hmm. what is the direction right now? Because developing these young guys, if that's going to be the direction, you're going to be stuck. And that's a tough spot to be in for fans.
The thing that I will say with regard to that is that for all of the, you know, the young guys playing that people think they'll win games, I'm telling you right now, if you take Anthony Simons and DeAndre Ayton off this team and you sit them down, they will lose a lot of games. I just mentioned your two basically leading scorers are Anthony Simons and DeAndre Ayton.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your leading rebounder and it's your leading creator. You take those guys off, they will struggle. They will struggle mightily.
No doubt.
Like, will they win some games? Yeah, they will. Because Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, Denny Avdia, Tumani Kamara, they can get hot.
Yeah.
This is an interesting text. Is there any chance that the recent success of Portland is due to the fact that Denny and Tumani are much better than we thought 40 games ago?
Yes.
Yeah, but also this is what they thought. When they got Denny Avdia, mm-hmm. the thing that I said that he was going to probably do when given the time and the run out and like what I expected from him was 18-8-5. It's the same line that I have said Scoot Henderson at his best. With Denny, it's 18 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Mm-hmm. With Scoot Henderson, it's 18 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. That's what they're looking at from Denny. And again, Denny right now is averaging 19-7-4.
And that's exactly what you want. You want to see development. You want to see growth. And as bad as it is right now that they are not going to have the best odds. They're not even going to be in the top five best odds to get Cooper Flagg, you know, Harper, Bailey, any of those guys.
Diakos Jonas, I mean.
They're not going to be there.
Well, they're not going to have the odds.
They're not going to have the odds to be there.
Yes.
The reality of it is that they weren't going to suck to a magnitude that the Wizards or the Utah Jazz were going to, regardless.
No, that was always the case. They were never going to be that bad.
But to not be in a situation where your lottery odds, because we've talked about this, mm-hmm. the drop-off from 6-7, 7-8.
5-7. It's pretty significant.
It's
not even just the number one pick odds. It's the top four pick odds.
And that's where you want to be at.
Yes.
And this run is in all likelihood costing them the odds there. That's not to say they can't do it. What happened last year with Atlanta?
Yeah. And here's the other thing.
But it makes it harder.
This run is a... It feels weird like qualifying this. This run is more believable and more, like you feel like you're getting more out of it than the games early. I will go back to this when it's all said and done. The run I will blame is not this run.
It's early in the year.
It's early in the year where they got five wins that nobody expected them to get when they weren't playing good. the teams that they played, the Pelicans and the Timberwolves, number one, the Pelicans had nobody. And then the Timberwolves playing like absolute dog poo. They got wins in a period that no one expected, nor should they have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I will die on that hill. Because if they have five less wins right now, where are they? They're right in the pack with everyone else. But
they got
the wins. But like that's the one where I go, the luck gods went against you in those games when you're talking about draft lottery.
Well, that's why I hope the basketball gods will shine brightly on the Portland Trailblazers for playing hard right now, and they will shine on them in May.
This is not coming from the organization.
Because I'm hoping.
This is coming from the outside in, other people in the NBA, of like, do you think the Blazers have like this thing about superstition in that they've been so egregious in their tanking over the last couple of years and it hasn't worked out for them, that maybe they can appease the basketball gods by just doing what you need to do and being responsible with your development and letting the cards fall where they may?
Nothing else is working, so why not?
This is something that people from other teams have asked me, and I'm like, I don't think anybody is organizationally that superstitious, but I would not put it out of the realm of possibilities.
Little stitious?
Like, yeah. Mildly stitious?
Yeah.
Medium stitious?
Yeah.
Not superstitious?
Yeah. Just a little bit. Just a tiny bit of stitious. And this goes to what Nico Harrison said yesterday, right? In the Luka Doncic trade press conference. Or I guess he said it on Sunday, but we had the audio yesterday. He said the easy thing is to just sit back and not do anything. And we decided we were going to make a big move. For the Portland Trailblazers.
I don't think you want to do that.
For the Portland Trailblazers, would it behoove them to maybe pull that page out of Harrison's playbook and say, short term, it will not help us, but in the long run, we feel like there will be a guy, young pieces, young players, that we trade, and it does not help us this year because that's not really the goal right now, but in the long run, it can. Because we saw, it took, 40 games for Denny Avdija to really start clicking and move? And that was a move that they gave up. They gave up some assets, right? Brogdon, 14th pick.
Two firsts and 2 seconds.
Yeah. Now, you go and you do something along those lines, maybe not that much freight, but you give a young, promising player who is actually playing really well right now. I don't know what that looks like. And you say, we're banking on this future because we know with the core that we have, with the guys that we have right now, we're not getting over the hump and none of them are the star.
And as a reminder, and this is not me going to bat for the organization, you guys that did not get out, that did not go public, the Blazers and the Wizards talked about Denny Avdija at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
The Blazers were not comfortable with dealing that pick at that point in time. They wanted to see kind of where things were because it was up in the air and it could have ended up fifth, sixth, or seventh, and it has more value at that point in time.
Yeah.
So even in a down draft, they wanted to make sure they knew kind of where the odds laid. And when they got done with it, they came back to the Wizards and they got a deal that made sense for both sides and they got Denny Avdija.
Okay.
So, look, I want them to make a move.
I do too.
Thursday. Or by Thursday. I don't think they will. So, but the Portland Trailblazers do take on the Indiana Pacers, and can they keep it going? I guess we can kind of dive in that.
Well, no, I got another thought.
You want to get another thought?
Yeah. Did you see Rob Pelinka today?
Oh, the suit?
We need to talk about Rob Pelinka today.
We'll talk about that next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
It's a Super Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Luka Doncic was officially unveiled as a Laker today. Boy, yeah, I hate to say that. Rob Pelinka came out... dressed like I don't even know what
I know exactly what it is.
What is it?
It's Rob Lowe playing Anthony Kiedis in a biopic.
The jacket zipped up quarter and then unzipped an eighth.
Dude, he looks. That's the closest thing that I can come up with. Is it looks like Rob Pelinka is Rob Lowe playing Anthony Kiedis, Red Hot Chili Peppers lead singer. It is the damnedest thing in the fact that...
Because Nico did give it away now.
Yeah, he did.
Mm.
Blazers, Pacers tonight. How do you think this one goes? Second of back-to-back.
The Pacers are coming off of back-to-back. I think this is when it ends.
Yeah.
I think there's some tired legs. Yeah. And especially... no nobody's really certain or uncertain around the trade deadline, but they are. I think you could feel a little bit of rattle, even though I think the Blazers are pretty sure they're comfortable where they are right now. I think the Pacers pull this one off tonight. Again, I thought the Suns would win last night. So.
Yeah, so, hey, look at surprise, surprise everywhere around. All right, that'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, it will be a split edition. I'm going to be down in Eugene. You're going to be here. I'm going to be down at Duck Signing Day tomorrow morning, starting right just before 9:30. Mike Jorgensen and I will be on the air breaking down Oregon's recruiting class on their YouTube stream. Mm-hmm. We'll be joined by Marshall Malko, Will Stein, Tasha Poy, Dan Lanning, talking about the Ducks recruiting class. So if you're into Oregon football, check that out on the YouTube stream for the Oregon Ducks tomorrow. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Primetime with Isaac and Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.